Larry, when you have a player like Jakob, maybe once in a lifetime, who knows, what kind of pressure do you feel as a coach and a staff to maximize his talent during the time you have him?
That's an interesting question. I really don't think there's any more pressure than any of the other guys. It's kind of the same thought and blueprint that you have when you recruit all these guys. And I was just on the phone last night with some recruits. And the one thing that you feel 100% convinced about is that you don't know where they're going to end up. But you know that I'd like to promise them that I think they can reach their potential. You know, we'll squeeze as much out of them as we can, and we'll address their weaknesses and, have some big boy conversations with them and not always tell them everything that they want to hear. But not have any regrets when the process is over, whether that's partway through a college career or at the end of a fifth-year senior, whatever the situation might be. So, it's a great question, but it really is no different than anybody else. You want to just maximize your opportunities, and like we always talk about, you don't want to have any regrets. You know, you don't want to be sitting when you're an old man looking back at it, wishing you would have done something else, or you would have done a little bit more, or pushed him a little harder. And I think Jakob's an example of a guy that's probably taken five or six things that we told him about this summer that he was going to have to improve on, and has faced them head on and done a pretty nice job, whether it's shooting free throws or slowing down or putting weight on or staying out of foul trouble, all of those things. I mean, he's a pretty cerebral player, and it's been a nice little learning curve that he's been on.
Coach, it's only one game, but can you quantify what that means to come back to on the road, hostile environment, overtime, the Pac-12 leader, and for your guys to really step up to the challenge? It is only one game, but can you look at this as maybe a defining part of your season? I mean, that may, tell more to come?
Well, each of the 18 games kind of tells a different story, and I don't think there's a whole lot to it. I said after our Oregon game, and I've used the saying a lot with our team, and I think a lot of it comes from NBA experience because you play so many games, is that it's not necessarily about any one game. It's a situation where you're never as good as you think you are, probably. It's more about grinding and staying in the moment. We made mistakes in Washington that we can address. Try not to make those mistakes again, but it's, the Oregon game, we felt pretty bad in the locker room, but it wasn't time to jump out of the ship and call it quits. And I said, we're not as bad as we think we are right now. And the same sentiment was expressed Sunday night after we beat Washington. It's more about a consistent effort mentally, physically, to come into a practice setting, come into a film setting, whatever it might be, and try to keep getting better and better. And our goal is to improve as the year goes along and to be playing our best basketball at the right time of year. So that's what I'm hopeful for. And then when you're done playing the 18 games or we're done in Vegas, you can look back on some things and then maybe you assess what that game did for you. But we don't know what that Washington game did for us because we haven't seen how we've responded to that victory. So I know we bounced back from the Oregon loss, and we've managed to win three games. So that's the more important thing, I think, is to stay in the moment, not get too caught up in some of the highs and lows of it.
You look at this matchup against Cal, obviously last time you guys played him, they made it difficult. Jakob had to take a lot of shots to get his points, and they really could body up on the inside. Do you kind of take away some things from the matchup? Like, are you looking at it now saying, okay, here are some adjustments, here's some things, or are those bodies just kind of something you just have to deal with and hopefully execute better against?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, that's what round two in the conference season is all about, is you make some adjustments. We're looking at what we did wrong, Cal's probably looking at the same film, trying to figure out what it is they need to make adjustments on. And we have a pretty good idea what it is they try to do. Defensively, they're leading the Pac-12 in defensive field goal percentage, so things don't come easy, whether it's Jakob inside or you know, perimeter guys, whatever the case might be, they're committed to playing defense, and they do it in a real solid physical manner. I think they've got some big bodies, so they don't need to double team. You know, they can throw three different guys at Jakob, which is a unique challenge for us as well. And we think they've got some chinks in their armor on both sides of the ball. They probably feel the same way about us. And, you know, that's what's kind of fun about getting a chance to play round two. We've got to be a lot better. That was a different time of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, we came off that tough loss at Stanford, and I was really proud of our guys for bouncing back. We had a good practice, 2 days actually, mentally and physically, to get ready for Cal. And I saw us miss a lot of shots. I saw it be a 4-point halftime game against the team that was playing pretty well. We made a number of mistakes and missed a bunch of open shots. And so I'm optimistic that we can play better and control some of those things for the second go round.
Also, you look at, they lose a guy like Ty Wallace, who obviously a first team All Pac-12 guy, and then they win two games at home. How have they adjusted to losing a player of that caliber, and why are they still successful in your mind?
Well, I mean, timing is everything too. Those two games are at home. You don't want to read too much into it, but they've got some players on the team. Some, you know, beyond Rab and Brown, who were two of the highly touted freshmen coming into this conference. I mean, Matthews is a heck of a player. Singler's doing a nice job filling in. So it's not like the cupboard was bare. And, you know, they've done the one thing about their team is they're not going to change defensively. I think they hang their hat on playing defense. And if you're missing a guy, that's probably not the end of the world. If you're all about outscoring your opponent and Wallace was a 25-point guy, then, you know, it might be a little more problematic for them to try to figure out how to replace those points. But they're getting good balance, you know, from four or five guys. And, you know, they miss his abilities on the floor. He does a lot of different things in pick and roll, but it didn't seem to affect them at all in their two games against the Arizona schools. So, you know, kudos to them for being able to make adjustments. I think we all face different injuries at certain times, ebbs and flows, and, you know, we're not going to read too much into it. We deal with who it is that we have to play and try to figure out a way to take away those guys, and we'll leave the adjusting issues up to Cal to have to figure out how to replace the production that he provided.
Larry, what do you think about a Wednesday late night game, and especially after being on the road for 5 days? You don't have a lot of turnaround here. What are the challenges you have?
Well, you know, I think all 12 of us coaches could probably complain. It's not ideal. You know, certain things are out of our control as well. So I try to focus on the stuff I can control, and you know, it hasn't been normal. We've played a few Sunday games now back to back. So until you're in that situation, and you know, there's people that work really hard for a living and probably don't want to hear a basketball coach complaining about maybe not having enough time off or a day off. But so I'm not interested in complaining about it. I think our kids bounce back. We gave them Monday off. It's not the easiest to take a day off when you have a game on Wednesday. So it, you know, becomes a little bit of an issue, and it's a fine line between doing too much, not doing enough. It's a balance. I know there's not many teams, Dirk, that are going to end up matter of fact, I know there's nobody else in the Power 5 or 6 conferences, however many conferences you want to include, that start with 7 out of 11 on the road in their conference schedule. We did a little research on that. So it's got a set of challenges. You know, and if we're still standing at the end of what could be considered a little bit of a grind, you can always say maybe on the flip side we'll be at home. But you got to be able to get up off the canvas after a pretty tough stretch with a lot of travel. You know, and I look at trip to Puerto Rico, a trip to New York, a trip to Kansas, playing a number of these games to start with on the road. We just spent 4 nights in a row in the hotel, and I'm really proud of our guys for being able to bounce back. It's not easy to do that, but each of our coaching staffs could complain and find a list of things, and it basically is what it is, and we're hoping that we can just stay upright and get through it.
And then also, can you just talk about what you do to combat the, or try to balance academics and the fact that these kids don't get a lot of time off, and with the schedule and being in the hotel for 4 days, like you said, what do you guys do to counter that? Because I know you're big on academics.
Yeah, no, it's a situation, you know, we just basically started school. We had our first three conference road games and we weren't in session yet. So that was a little bit helpful in terms of academics. A year ago was quite a quandary when we were, we finished the season on the road, the Washington schools. We were gone for 4 nights. We came home. We were gone for 4 or 5 nights to Vegas, and then we were gone to Portland, and then we were gone to Houston. And we didn't exactly finish strong. You know, that's really hard in and around that spring break. You've always got exams either right prior to the spring break or right after spring break, as teachers always set them up. And, you know, we took a lot of tutors, took tutoring and mentoring with us on the road, and we did the best that we could. But at the end of the day, to be away and have, you know, it's a pretty important time basketball-wise. It's hard to burn that candle at both ends. And at least, like I said, six of our road games will be in session versus 9 last year. So it'll be a little bit easier for us to probably get our feet grounded and not get too far behind. And it's difficult. It's hard for the student-athletes. There's a lot going on, the demands that they have. And, you know, we just finished with the 3-point as a team this last semester. So that's pretty cool when you look across the board and you have a 3-point grade average as a group and managed to win some games. We're pretty proud of it.
I was also kind of wondering, you know, the turnover in some of these, especially on the road, you know, how do your video staffs and your scout team guys factor into how to prepare? Are they like studying the night of the game? How long in advance do they have to kind of get ready to go?
No, it's been pretty neat. You know, we've got a good group, walk-ons, and our scout team do a nice job. We've divided the coaching staff up into groups. You know, Scotty McBurn does a great job heading up the video. And he's around the clock working on, you know, the previous 5 games. And it's a lot of work, you know, coaches getting on top of it and scouting. Sometimes you start, it becomes a little bit easier on round two. Like, we can look at our Cal game. We're a little familiar with it. We played them 4 weeks ago. So it's not like, you know, it's not like a distant memory. We can look at the Cal-Stanford game, which we couldn't look at before, for example, which took place a couple weeks ago. So I think efficiency improves probably as the season goes on. Teams are more and more predictable. And during conference play, there's really not a lot of curveball. You might throw a couple little curveballs, but for the most part, teams have found their identity, and there's not adequate practice time to be changing, you know, a lot of things on a grand scale. So, you know, there's more resources. When we started conference play, we're looking at Cal and Stanford, and it's against a bunch of non-conference opponents and different styles of play. It becomes a little more challenging, but I think we've got a great group of guys that buy into what the coaches put them through, and, you know, do a pretty packed in session with scout team, whether it's offense or defense, and try to simulate what the other team does. And it's been good, you know, and we throw in a couple new guys now that are having some fun on the scout team that we haven't had before, and give it a little different dynamic and spice it up a little bit. So it's been good.
Jordan seems to have, you know, his shot has come back to him, at least, you know, 22 against Washington State, 10 more against Washington. Have you noticed a change in his confidence level? I mean, shooters have to keep shooting, but do you think he's shot his way out of what was maybe considered a slump for him?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I know he's putting a lot of time in. You know, he passed up a couple shots against Washington in front of our bench, and I let him have it pretty good because we ended up taking bad shots. You know, it's not time to be shy. He's getting close to single digits left in however many college games he's got. You know, the senior thing is winding down pretty quick. So just him knowing that the coaching staff has confidence in him to do what he does, you know, specifically shoot open shots, not force things. And I saw a little bit of that look in his eye in Washington, and I told him on the bus afterwards, that now's not the time to have that, you know, look on your face like you lost your puppy. It's just, there's just too much at stake, and we've gone through some of that stuff maybe in your earlier years with confidence, but let it fly and have some fun. We'll try to put him in positions where he's getting open shots. Hopefully his teammates are trying to help him do the same thing. The thing I've noticed, probably the biggest thing in the last 10 days or so, 2 weeks with Jordan, is I think he's made a major commitment to playing some defense that we didn't see before. Had a couple of breakdowns over the weekend where he didn't finish plays, but we've been doing a nice job defensively. If you look at the Pac-12 statistics, efficiency, and percentages and points, I believe we're at the top of the conference, and a lot of those games have been on the road. So our guys are buying into trying to get some stops, and I've always believed that if you focus on that end of the floor, good things will happen at the offense. It can't be the other way around, where your shots going in give you energy to play defense. It's got to be, let's play some defense, hang our hat on that, get stops, and then maybe we go down and the offense becomes a little bit easier. And I'd like to think that's what's happened here as of late.
Larry, how do you make adjustments to the time? I know essentially the Duke game was 10 a.m. Utah time, and now you've got a 9 p.m. Utah time. Do you adjust practices, or how do you get these guys' clocks?
I think the more you talk about it, the more it becomes a problem. Personally, I just think the time zones, and I think some of it has to do, again, with some experience in the NBA where you're changing time zones and doing some crazy stuff, and it just shouldn't be something you're thinking about. We play late tomorrow, so we have moved our shoot around up, and we're going to eat a little earlier. I don't want to be, you know, eating pregame meal at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so we're going to change that up and get the shoot around done at the normal time, eat a little bit earlier, have some snacks we send them home with, and allow them to sleep in a little bit more, assuming we don't have class conflicts. You know, on a Wednesday morning, anybody that doesn't have class, not going to make mandatory breakfast as early, and just try to scoot it back to get their clocks on. But you know, I think it can become a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy if you want to make it a big deal and talk about it. It's important that we're ready when they tip it up, whether it's, you know, noon or midnight.
Is this Pac-12 conference, I mean, 8 teams within a game, I think 10 teams within 2 games. Is this kind of what you expected, the depth and the parity in the league, and it's playing out to fruition, it seems like?
I could probably lie and say, yeah, I knew it was going to be like this, but I never really give 2 seconds a thought to how it's going to go. I just constantly trying to figure out what we're doing and who we're playing next. I just looked at the standings for the first time, I think, this morning, and kind of realize that. So, we're all fighting. Everybody's got their own issues. We've all lost some games I'm sure we didn't want to lose or didn't think we were going to lose. Who knows how many of them you feel like you stole that maybe you shouldn't have won. It's irrelevant. I think at the end of 18 games that Saturday before Vegas, that's going to be the first time you really sit down and study it and go, wait a minute, who are we playing next? And who might we play if we win that one? And just kind of add them all up, and it's going to make for some interesting tournament games, you know, some storylines. They might be into some new pages on the tie-breaking, protocol instead of, you know, the first A, B, C in case of a tie kind of deal. I mean, it might go down a little ways, and who knows, they might even have to make up some new rules to break some ties with the way it's going. So, I don't know. It's more just about trying to survive and figure out how to beat Cal. And the thing to answer your question, I think the most important thing is that I think our league has represented itself well in the preseason. So this is one of those years that we can beat up on each other, and it's not like anybody's really taken major hits. I think there's some respect nationwide that our conference is good from top to bottom. And so maybe on another given year, if there weren't some marquee wins in the preseason, you know, as in years past, the league has kind of been based on how Arizona and UCLA have gone. And if they don't do well, then the league is down. And, you know, from the sounds of it, we could have 8 or 9 teams in the NCAA tournament. So I think from a league perspective, we did our work early, managed to get enough of those wins, and it's acceptable maybe that we're beating up on each other, you know, and it's respected that there's some good teams in the league. So, yeah, I don't think there's necessarily bad losses to be had like there might be in years past in conference play. So that's probably the good news. Survival of the fittest.